the world is watching with their ears.
So the Jeff.
So the Jer.
We're doing the So the Jeff, So the Jer banter at the beginning, and that can mean only one thing.
There ain't no after chat.
That's right.
Because this is a long-ass show.
That's right. This is what you call a pivotal episode.
Mm-hmm.
Which it shouldn't have been. It should have been a light, breezy chat about ghost hunting with Rachel Baker from mripa.net, who... we talked to her and her husband, Jason, before on the show, and we decided to have Rachel back on, or I guess you did, on a whim. You were like, yeah, let's have her back on.
Yeah, she just kind of came up on the radar for to be honest with you, no apparent reason. I just thought, what about that girl from Deb Cobble's group that we liked talking to on the show that time? And, yeah.
Cobble.
Oh, yeah, let's not forget that.
Yes.
And that rears its ugly head, listeners, again in this episode. Sorry. Be prepared.
You're welcome. Well, here's what's interesting. Now, for anyone who's paying attention to sort of internet nonsense and conflict whoring, there are two podcasts, one new, one old. They're both completely idiotic, and they come after us. With, you know, venom and lies and nonsense. To the extent that some listeners have actually written to us with concern. And I think, you know, we didn't know how we were going to handle it, if we were going to bother, because who wants to give people press for stupid shit? And who wants to answer people who are just lying? Because it's like, you answer that and then, you know, does it matter? I mean, the answer is they're lying. So if you want the answer, it's like everything they said in those shows about us is a lie. We could prove it. Who cares? Now, what we're going to do, I think, was like, come on here and be like, so, Paratopia, do you want to hear that episode where we give you all that proof? Do you want us to do that and give it to a vote? But an interesting thing happened here, which is this show, at least for me, and you tell me if you feel this way, answered that for me, which is, no, guys, this is what this show is about. This is what this show is. Don't worry about that shit.
Mm.
And it comes on the heels of you saying, we did an interview with, what's the name of the show? Project Archivist.
Correct.
Projectarchivist.com is the website. And so I guess that'll be up. Our interview will be up, I think, in two parts real soon. And, the hosts of that show are a good couple of cats, and they had us on and we chatted for a good long while. And what Jeff said at the end about sort of this internet nonsense with us, is that anytime something like this happens where we seem to be getting attacked from the outside for no good reason, something happens, you know, in our lives or on the show that is sort of the drawback in. It's sort of the I don't know, what, the light at the end of that tunnel? I don't know what you would call it.
Well, the conflict is the jagged pill to swallow. You know,
it's the anti-structure. We go along our business here, and then suddenly exactly. There's this thing that gives us anti-structure. And in that moment of anti-structure, of course, we all know the phenomena rears its head. Well, I feel like that's probably what this episode was. And Jeff, you actually called that on their show and said you thought that, you know, in the next 2 weeks we'd be seeing something. Do you think this was it?
I think it's maybe a piece of whatever that is. Yeah, I think. It's like I said, you have these things that seem to come pretty much out of nowhere, and this conflict like comes out of nowhere, and it is so nonsensical and so absurd that you actually wonder how someone can say the things they do and be so adamant about it when they haven't a clue, and you don't know what to do. You're like, do I answer this? Do I not? I'm damned if I do, damned if I don't. And all of that just seems, in the at least in the history of the show, always comes around to the thing that comes after that. If you can push through that crap, what's on the other side of it is what seems to be this very interesting dynamic that you either get to witness or something unusual happens in your own life. And this is kind of like, it's not a payoff, but it's okay, you push through this. Now you get this. And that's happened before with us. And
well, it's like that, but do you think it is that, or do you think it's just simply anytime anti-structure comes at us as a show, so, you know, there are ramifications for the show in that manure comes to roast. And that's because as George Hansen would say, is just the nature of the beast, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, nobody can answer that question. I don't know. It's a guess. I mean, do I think that's how it works? Yeah, I think that's how it works. Is it purposeful? I don't know. As I said, it's come up in, it comes up in occult practices where in order to get into this practice, you have to kind of go through a testing of sorts, or something's going to poke you a little bit, and it's not a big deal. It's not going to hurt you. Just push through it. And what you get on the other side is a new way of thinking, or a new way of approaching something, or a new practice, or whatever. It seems to follow through all of this stuff, that there is a period of, like you said, discord, absurdity, ridiculousness, frustration, aggravation. But if you push through that and you just plow through, whether you acknowledge it or not, I think is incidental. You can acknowledge it or not. It doesn't matter. People are going to believe what they want to believe. If they want to believe morons, then that's their business. I don't care. But if you plow through that, then on the other side of that, always there seems to be something that presents itself. And I, like I said, Rachel just kind of popped into my head for no damn good reason a couple of nights ago, along with a couple other people. And I threw an email out to her and I said, you want to come back on the show? Because I remember we really liked talking to you. And so I thought, good ghost show. It'll be a good ghost show, because at the time she hadn't gone on a lot of you know, these ghost outings. And I thought by now she's probably got her feet wet more than a few times, running around with Deb and her husband and all of that. And, well, we got something different. We sure did. How'd you like that work in there?
Yeah.
Little communion work in. Did you catch that?
That's nice.
All I can say, Jeremy, is I'm glad this is not my room.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. Do we have any more ado? I guess, you know, you'll hear this as the conversation unfolds. It's fascinating. It's, I don't know, it confirms a lot of the stuff we've been saying, I think, or looking into, for better or for worse, on this show. And we have a willing participant in a lifelong experiment.
Well, I mean, sort of.
Keep checking back.
Well, I mean, let me just kind of say this, because we're not spoiling any surprise here. I mean, this is not like it'll be a surprise in how the conversation turns. But and Jeremy, you tell me if I'm wrong here. We're looking at somebody, or we're talking to someone who is just starting to come to an awareness of something. And I find this to be really great to hear, because it, while we don't personally share a lot of the same historical parts of our own experiences with this stuff, and very few people do, but you hear the same types of thoughts or thinking that kind of gets you down the road years later into the thought process that you are. So I think it's really interesting to hear somebody just coming to an awareness of this, and where you kind of blossom out of what you thought you were into versus where you want to go in this whole paranormal thinking process.
Yeah. Yeah, and I find it interesting how angry she is about the whole ghost scene. Even if she says she's not really, it's in her voice. I mean, it's just in her voice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. There's a lot of food here. So
Let's it's get a to great eat. Episode.
All right. Without further ado, here is Rachel Baker of mripa.net. Right after this!
If you record audio for any purpose, chances are you want it to be heard. You want to attract the largest audience possible who can hear your message. That's where we come in. We're CyberEars.com, a revolutionary internet service that will host your audio files and help you promote and track its popularity. Considering hosting a podcast to the world? We have all the automated tools to make the process as simple and easy as it can be. No technical mumbo-jumbo to work out. CyberEars.com does all the work for you. You record it, we take care of the rest. So don't delay. Go to CyberEars.com today and register for a free trial account. Upload your audio files and get heard. With CyberEars.com, it's your audio on your terms.
Rachel, thank you for coming back on Paratopia.
Well, thank you for having me.
And tell me, m'lady, what has been going on since you were last on the show? Because you had been on a couple of outings for ghost hunting, but I don't think a ton at the time. Am I right?
No, it wasn't a ton. It absolutely is the same as it was then, which I think was in March when I was on the show.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for coming on.
You're welcome.
Paratopia, everybody.
Hi, guys. No, we really haven't had a lot of investigations. We've been getting a lot of calls from out of state. Like, we just had one. I was just dealing with a lady that called me from, Florida. I just, Pensacola, Florida. And we've been doing a lot of, like, mentoring and then also pushing off investigations to other teams. And so we've been doing a lot of that kind of stuff. And then also we have a lot of events coming up, like the Hannah House meet and greet. And we have the convention up in Michigan. So we've been doing a lot of those kind of things, but not investigations. It's been very slow there.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, has I mean, this may be a sore subject to ask, but I have to ask because one of our prior guests being George Hansen, who says in no uncertain terms that paranormal groups don't exactly stay together very long. And I know last time we had you on the show, everything was going along pretty well. But has anybody dropped out? Has there been any drama in your little corner of the world?
Well, there's always some type of drama, but the team members that really are sticking together, the ones that have been the longest, they're the ones that are putting forth the effort. Jason is also one of those people that say that you give a new group maybe about 3 months before you start, or well, he's saying 6 now, but 6 months, and then they start realizing there's actually work involved if you really, really want to run it right, and then they start breaking up. We had a guy that started, I want to say, in April, but he lasted 2 months. But even in those 2 months, he did nothing. We never heard from him through emails. And I would keep him in the loop all the time. And Jason brought him on board not as an investigator, but as someone to work on graphics and designs. Right. And I told Jason the day that he brought him over, Jason, he will not be a good fit. And one of the reasons why our team functions as well as it does is because, one, we just don't bring in everybody that applies.
Mm-hmm.
We meet with them, we get a feel for them, then we bring them around our team members. And if your team members don't get along with them, it's not a good fit. Everyone has to get along to make the group function.
Right.
And it was me and Amber, actually, that said, Jason, he's not going to be a good fit. And Jason found out on the day that we had our yearly team meeting. We don't have meetings every month. It's a year, like once a year,
right.
Two maybe. And we get together. Everybody comes over. We have about a 2 to 3 hour meeting just going over the year, what to look forward to, things that have happened. He called 20 minutes before our meeting started, even though he was on all the emails. And there was at least 30 or 40 emails, not just about the meeting, but really everything. He called Jason 20 minutes before saying, is today the team meeting and where's it at again? Jason said, you know what? No need for you to come. I don't think you're right for the group. And he goes, well, I don't understand. Yeah. Jason says, did you read any of the messages? He goes, well, no. I just kind of skimmed through them. And Jason's like, that's not the right answer. And he hung up. So the guy called like 5 minutes later and said, well, I read all the emails. And Jason said, no, you didn't. Click. So well, that's really the only thing we've dealt with. But everybody puts forth an effort, and everyone has their own quality and skill. And if you've got someone that just is going to sit on the side and let everyone else do the work, it's not going to be a member of our team.
Right. Well, I mean, so this kind of thing happens, I guess, across the board. Yeah, I mean, it happens across the board. It's not unusual, I don't guess, in that sense, because that sounds like more of a like a just a non-motivated person to do something. So what do you do when you're when it's this slow and you're, you know, I mean, has it ever been this slow for you guys, or do you feel like this is a real kind of like a weird time where you just have so little going on?
We've had slow times, but this has probably been the slowest in ghost hunting, guys. But when it comes to UFO sightings, because we do that stuff too, that's been flying. That has been flying.
Really?
So, okay. Yeah. Yeah,
can you give
flying.
Us dirt? Can you give us anything here? I mean, what's been going on?
Sorry.
No, just in that direction. Yeah. I mean, in that direction, what's been going on?
Well, you know how we work closely with the Indiana chapter of MUFON, and then of course our Deb Powell, she's our ufologist, and she still does reports, but on her own, not the MUFON anymore. So.
Sorry. I gotta do that anytime Deb Cobble's mentioned. It's just my...
I know. I love that woman to death. Just a lot of strange sightings and reports. And we've had people coming to our website and giving us reports of strange phenomena, especially even like in the Indianapolis area, you know, around the airport. Even last weekend, we had some of our team members over, and I was telling Jason, because I was out on the back porch, because our neighbors were having a birthday party for somebody, so the whole neighborhood literally got a free rock concert. So I was out in the back just kind of dancing on our patio because I was bored. And I looked at this up in the sky, and I don't remember seeing that star, a star twinkle like this one star that I was seeing. And I'm like, well, that's kind of odd, because you could see the colors of like red, green, and white is kind of twinkling, but it stayed stationary. So I was like, okay. And then Jason came running in. This was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And he said, Rachel, I need to show you something. So went outside. I'm like, yeah, that's the same star that I was seeing earlier. And he goes, that reminds me of the star that we were sky watching on last summer, because of just the, you could see it pulsate. I mean, you could see colors.
Right.
Pulsate from this thing. And we stayed and watched it for 10 minutes. And I said, you know what? I'm really tired. I'm going to bed. And then maybe about 5 minutes later, Jason said, well, I was playing around with our green laser. Just kind of like one of our teammates said that they were playing around with lasers and stuff like that. So he tried it. He said, Rachel, he said, it never moved, but it just disappeared.
Huh.
And so, yeah, so we had strange phenomena like that. And then Glenn Means, and you know how Deb has that show with Glenn Means, he always gives us reports and updates on stuff that goes on. Since I'm stuck in a basement for my real-life job, I don't get to check the internet as much as he does. So he gives me updates through at least email or through my cell phone. But, yeah, reports of strange phenomena in the sky have been skyrocketing. And then my favorite one is the NASA report of, hey, if you see falling like stars and stuff, don't worry about that. It's just space debris, and we're shooting it down with lasers.
Okay. Well,
right.
I mean, well, along that line of thinking, what's the general, I guess, social climate like in Indianapolis? Is there anything going on that's out of the ordinary? You know, not in a paranormal sense, but just in a social life sense. I mean, is anything in a period of change or upheaval, you know, around that area where we're talking about, or is it pretty much business as usual and nothing's really going on?
Nothing is really going on. I haven't seen anything out of the ordinary to just talk about the general public population. Paranormal groups, we're not. I'm not seeing a lot of activity with other groups in the area too.
Huh. Okay. Cause it's, I don't know. It seems like a lot of times if you look around like a general area, and you have things that aren't exactly, I don't know, normal for the area. If there's a lot of building going on, I mean, building is one of the things that seems to attract UFO sightings and any kind of renovations or major teardowns and that sort of thing. I mean, there's nothing like that going on around that area.
No.
Hmm. No. I mean, it's curious. I mean, do you think that the do you feel that the whole paranormal thing, at least in terms of the ghost hunting stuff, do you feel like it's on a waning point to you? I mean, do you see like, I mean, God knows how many shows we've got now, I think, since we last spoke. I mean, what have we gained, like 2 or 3 ghost hunting shows on TV? And I feel like there's this general consensus about, at least on the net, I mean, all these shows started out and it was like, wow, this is kind of a neat show. You know, they approach it in a different way. And some of them were considered utter garbage from the start. So do you think in a certain sense that, I don't know, that the public is somewhat, the interest is sort of kind of waning a little bit in this whole avenue?
Then I would say yes. If you start looking into the light of what's on TV, because this is going to be kind of a silly example, but now not paranormal related, but they have at least 3 or 4 different types of repo shows on now, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of look at that the same with the paranormal shows. You run it into the ground so much that every show typically is the same thing with different faces. So you got
right.
The bullshit. Sorry, guys. The bullshit with.
No, that's okay. Right. Yeah.
For example, the lady I've been talking to in Florida, she says, well, I've seen all the shows on TV and I did everything, you know, that they did on TV and nothing's working. And I'm thinking, maybe because what you're experiencing is medical. I didn't say that to her though, but that's, you know, I was asking her all these things, but she swore up and down that the people on TV know what they're talking about, but why is it working? Because of the TV show?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, I just mentioned last night we did a little interview with another show, and you know, I said that some of the visibility that it's gotten due to these shows. I mean, when we were first talking about these shows, we were first talking about, is it a good thing or a bad thing? And nobody really had a good answer except for, well, at least it's bringing it to the mainstream, so there's a lot more eyes on it, and it's getting the attention of people, and people are watching it. So that's a good thing, right? But I mean, did you ever think that? And if you did, are you changing your mind about that now?
Well, is it bringing awareness to it? Yes, but the awareness is not always a good thing, because with more people watching the TV shows and more people that are taking it to heart as 100% factual, you now get more people that how do I say this nicely?
You don't have to say it nicely. It's paratopia.
Or you get more cards in the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I look at it, because, you know, I don't... You've got so many different type of people. You got those that really want to think thoroughly, and then you've got those that are so excited about everything that anything and everything becomes something paranormal. So... You got more people, yes, coming to the mainstream and more awareness, but with that more awareness, you're going to have more of, let's say, the positive and also more of the negative.
Right, right. Yeah, it's a two-way street, I guess, when it comes to that.
Yeah.
So how have you been thinking about this stuff lately? I know you were pretty ponderous about it the last time we spoke to you. You were kind of forward-thinking about the ghost phenomena, not trying to exactly pigeonhole it into one thing or another, be it, you know, spirits of the dead or something else. Have you pondered any more on that? And where are you going with all of the different phenomena that you guys look into? Is that backing you too much into a corner there?
No, I'm trying to think where I actually tried to listen to the show last night just to catch up on what we talked about. Because when you said to catch up, when you said, I want to talk personally to you this time, I'm like, oh, crap. This is awesome, but yet scary. Thanks, guys. I'm glad you guys enjoyed talking to me. I know there's spirits, yes. There are interdimensional, yes. And there are other beings outside of our planet. I guess that's how I can describe it. There's a whole buttload of stuff that exists. I've come to that realization that there is so many things out there, and it's going to be kind of like the same answer I gave you, that we won't ever, ever, ever fully understand.
Right.
And I'm going to say this, and I know when we were talking about like demonology and things like that and people that claim to be demon experts, I'll use the same scenario. There is no expert in the field. There is, and that includes everything.
Right.
We can only study and better ourselves, but there will never be an expert.
Yeah, yeah. I don't disagree with you there. What about as far as, and this is something also I brought up on this program last night, was anytime that you see a ghost hunting group gets contacted by someone having activity in their house, and they're disturbed by it, which I would assume is a good chunk of what you get.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, I mean, you tell me how you feel about this. I'm just going to tell you how I feel about it when I hear this sort of thing. You listen to somebody like Taps, and the first words out of their mouth is, "We're here to help." And the more ghost hunting groups that I've talked to, right? The more ghost hunting groups I've talked to, that is kind of how they explain themselves in why they're doing this. It's to help people. And the way I look at it is, you don't know what it is, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
So, number one, how do you help? Number two, I think it's kind of almost a smokescreen to the real drive. And the real drive is to get the best data or the best captured evidence that you can.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see why so many people kind of shy away from saying that. Like, I'll come in and possibly try and verify what you're seeing. And so to a degree, I see that as helping, because you're at least letting that person know you're not the only one seeing this. We went in, we saw it too. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, we are here not as a therapist. We're here as or a social worker. We're here to actually capture data that may verify, and if that helps you, that's great. But also, we're trying to further this study in capturing data that may benefit that study.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, do you agree or disagree with that? I'm not exactly sure why the whole mindset is we're here to help you. Barring, you know, the obvious thing, which is you're a researcher and you're there to research what's going on and to capture data. That's really your main objective, in my opinion, at least. So do you agree or disagree with that?
I will agree from your point of view. And when I say it that way, I've done a lot of growing, I guess, being in MRIPA since I started in 2007. You can call more awakening, more realization, and yes, you're helping people, but it's not because you've got evidence to actually physically say, look, we saw what you saw. I feel now you're having people, hopefully this makes sense. I'm hoping that you're helping the individual become more self-empowered of taking on the responsibility and control of their own home. And then giving them maybe the resources or the feeling that, okay, it's your home. Now what are you going to do about it? And also giving them the honest truth that, no, if there is something there, you can't really make it go. If it doesn't want to go, it's not going to go.
Right.
And I think I told you guys this the last time I was on the show, was I've started a habit which some people do not like, and I don't care. I ask them straight out, if we do capture anything that substantiates what you claim has been happening in your house or business, what are you going to do with that evidence?
Huh.
What is your plan after we leave here and we find actual evidence, audio, visual? We can't, of course, we can't, you know, substantiate personal experiences because that's for the individual.
Right.
So if we capture actual evidence, what are you going to do with it? And then they'll say, if you capture evidence, are you going to come back? There's no point.
Right.
There's simply, guys, there is no point to go back. You got something. Good for you. Great. Mm-hmm. Great for us that we were able to give you something tangible to prove that you saw it. But why would you need someone else to come back? Well, there's no need for us to come back. We got the evidence for you. What are you going to do with it now?
Okay. Well, what answer do you get out of that question? I mean, what's been the response to some people?
My favorite one is,
really?
Well, of course you haven't.
Huh. Wow.
So this has been my progression in this. And I told Jason this. The honest truth is, guys, my interest has left ghosts. My interest lies in life outside here.
Really?
So,
okay.
Yeah. So that's why when we have investigations, I'm excited to go. I love working with my team members, but that's not where my passion is. It doesn't mean, guys, whoever's listening, does not mean I don't care. I want people to be self-empowered, not to be afraid of the unknown, to be like, okay, fine, I've got something. Okay, great. You know, let me take initiative and try to learn a little bit more. Let me take initiative and pay more attention to what I'm feeling. And that's another thing I'm learning, guys, is that we are a lot smarter and a lot more aware, but it's our, you know, society in general, the doubt in yourself, the willingness of people not wanting to listen to or paying attention to their gut instinct. We have that for a reason.
Right.
So when I say make people more self-aware and self-empowered, it's pay attention to what your inside is telling you.
Hmm. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, what you say about if you get something, then there's very little reason for you to come back. I agree. At that point, you've kind of collected the data that you can. And so if you give that to them, then that should, by all rights, I mean, by what you're doing, that should be the end. That should be your answer. That should be your, you know, your nugget to bring out of the dream to them. But don't you think that it would kind of, I don't know, further the interest or the study to not only go back once, but to go back many times if there is recorded evidence of something going on, to see if that something is actually repeatable and continues to occur, and then maybe can even be studied in different ways, maybe as something new comes along, some kind of new direction to approach it from, or interaction with it, or whatever, you know, however you want to approach that.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that kind of behoove the whole group to do something like that, to kind of push the envelope past just the, we're here, here's what we got, thanks very much, good luck to you?
I guess, I mean, you could. I guess what I'm doing is I'm stepping back up looking at what most groups are capable of right now.
Mm-hmm.
You got your audio tapes, you got your EV, your recorders, your video cameras, your digital cameras, maybe old photography if people still use that.
Right.
You've got dowsing rods, and it depends. Like, if you have, you know, I know how we were talking about Gettysburg and a lot of the stuff going on there repeated, because you've got this echo basically replaying of this powerful event. You know what happens. So what kind of data, I guess, really what kind of data would you be searching for? It's like most people that call you in, they want physical proof. A lot of them will say, I want to know that I'm not crazy. Okay, so here's the audio. We're hearing it. Here's the video. We saw it. No, you're not crazy. Right. Some people might say, hey, this is good for me. I know I'm not crazy. And I'll ask them, are you scared? And a lot of them are like, no, it really doesn't bother me. Okay.
Yeah.
You got something going on. I mean, we have a flipping ghost cat in our house.
Right.
We have a ghost dog in our house.
Huh.
Every time I think I'm about to step on my dachshund, my dog's asleep on the couch.
Oh.
The cat has followed, I think Jason thinks it's his, one of his little, but the cat we've seen here, it was also at the place we lived in prior to our home, this house that we live in now.
So this has been a while then. I mean, this has been going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Do we need to take people to bring and to videotape to see if it captures a ghost dog or ghost cat? Probably not, because we got the equipment, but they're not bothering us. I think it's kind of cool because it's kind of hype. Yeah, I'm getting really mixed feelings about the purpose of. I don't like ghost hunting. I really despise that term. You're not hunting a ghost. You can't really hunt a ghost.
Yeah.
They're going to be there or not going to be there. I'm starting to also come to the idea that ghosts you know how they say, like, when you die, the energy of the body transpires into something else.
Right.
Is the energy still stuck here, or are they just coming through from a different plane now? Maybe they went to a higher plane than this one. They call this the third dimension. Maybe they're in the fourth. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, there's just, I've got so many different thinking, and actually, yes, I have progressed in just my way of taking in information. I'm trying to cut through the bullshit, you know, that a lot of people are saying, well, we have all the answers, you know, or they talk like they know exactly what's going on, which drives me crazy, because you don't. You don't know. You just are afraid to say that maybe you're right or wrong. You could be right, but also take in the fact that you could be wrong. And just go back to it. Don't be an expert when there is no expert.
Right.
Because that's where we get ourselves into trouble, and you could put someone else in danger, maybe.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, forgive me for saying this, but you sound like you're kind of sick of the ghost thing.
You're
fed up to a certain degree. I mean, which, believe me, I don't blame you. I mean,
I'm kind of fed up to a certain degree of, I think, the baloney that's obviously taking place everywhere, but no one seems, I shouldn't say no one. A lot of people aren't seeming to figure it out. Or stuff there, yes. Stuff is there. We know it. Now, could we ever put it into a little tiny pre-wrapped package? No.
Huh. Has it aggravated you? Well, has a certain amount of the frustration that comes out of this come from the fact that, like you said, the best you can get is audiovisual data, and pretty much that's it. I mean, past that, what are you going to get? Are you going to get a sample of something? What sample? How would you do that? I mean, you know, there's no real tangibility to this thing.
You know how people keep talking about ectoplasm and, you
right,
know,
yeah.
I have yet to see anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not going to say it doesn't exist, guys, just because I haven't seen it. But, okay, let me give the example of a lady in Florida, and I'm not going to say names, but I grew up in the Lutheran Missouri Synod denomination, and I don't consider myself Christian anymore. I consider it more spiritualist. Do I believe in God? You bet. There's a creator. Oh, absolutely. Just look around you. Something doesn't come from nothing. That's just where I'm going to start my philosophy. But the agitation of it's where she said, I saw the show, so I moved all my mirrors to the back bedroom facing outwards in case spirits were coming through the mirrors. I called in. She called in the exterminator, she said, because she kept feeling like these prickly things crawling on her leg. And she said they would always happen when the air conditioner would kick on or when she was lying in bed or, you know, sitting in her chair. And so I went through everything, you know, the exterminator, she said, didn't find anything. Of course, we were talking about, like, bed bugs. How old is your bed mattress? How old's the house? She keeps her husband's ashes and her sister's ashes and urns in the house. So she moved that all into the garage thinking they were, you know, haunting her. They asked her about, you know, I hate saying it, like any health issues I should be aware of because, you know, diabetes or neuropathy causes the pringly, tickly sensations. And she says it's always around her feet and ankles and legs. Then she said that it gets really worse when she's lying down. She said that she never had pets. There's been no fleas. And so I'm just making all these notes. And then she said that when her neighbors would come over, they would experience the same thing, which kind of said, okay, did they really experience this? Or are you saying this so you have some backup to your story?
Right.
But I can't accuse her of yes or no because, one, I'm not in Florida. I'm not there. And then I encouraged her to talk to her pastor because she was saging her house and doing prayers and blessings. And I told her, yes, I grew up in a Lutheran church. My dad's a pastor, yada, yada. And then I finally came to my own conclusion that I think it's medical, that she's got neuropathy or something of that sort. Causing nerves to overshoot.
Right.
Or you got nerve damage, which can also cause that. So but I don't tell her that. I asked her, do you see your doctor regularly? Have you ever checked your feet or, you know, your nerves for any kind of damage? Oh, I go to the doctor all the time. Okay. And then she goes, but I'm not fat. Okay. She goes, so that I shouldn't have bad circulation. Oh, I'm like, I'm not saying you're overweight and, you know, whatever. So I'm like, no, I'm just making notes. It's okay. Keep going. So she talked to her pastor and she said that he was really nice and just, you know, said, you know, some prayers in the house, but really didn't say much to what she was saying was going on. But I asked her, she says, but as she was in the house, I experienced that same feeling. They got all over me. She kept calling them they. They were crawling all over my ankles, feet, and legs. But she goes, you see nothing. And I said, well, did your pastor say anything? Like, experiencing it. She goes, no, he never said anything, nor did he even act like anything was going on. Okay. And then she said, but he wants the name of your father, so maybe he can call him. And I said, what, Linda? I go, one, I will not be giving you my father's name. Two, there is no need for your pastor to call my dad. Because my dad, one, doesn't believe in this stuff. Two, my dad has nothing to do with this.
Right.
And three, you called me.
Yeah.
Your pastor needs to talk to somebody, he can call me. And she goes, no, I don't think that's going to happen. I'm like, okay. So as I'm, you know, talking to her, you know, very calmly, very nicely, my gut's telling me, and this is why I say pay attention to, like, internal, don't second guess, but everything was screaming medical.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything that she was describing describes neuropathy or start of MS sometimes, fibromyalgia. Those are the same symptoms and signs that all my patients give me coming in with those health issues.
Huh.
So.
Wow. But you don't think she doesn't accept that answer, though, from you?
No, no. No, it's something definitely paranormal, definitely paranormal.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay. I said, well, I can't really do much for you, but just give you support and give you a lending ear. If you need to talk, I'm here and I will listen. But I'm not going to pretend like I have the answer for you because I do not. That was my answer to her.
Huh. Strange. Well...
Sure, I get on my little soapbox, but I'm not gonna lie to people just so they get an answer they want. Yeah.
No. I'll make a point again. You're a minority because I think the majority are looking for something so hard that they'd go out of their way just to find something to make a deal out of. I want to explain to you one thing that happened to me. That I think has happened since you were last on the show. I'm pretty sure. The room I'm in now is sort of my media room. I have all my guitars in here. I've got the computer in here. It's where I record the show from every week. My son had his girlfriend over. My wife, when I came in here, was in the living room. It was toward the end of day, sun was going down, but it was still pretty light outside. Needless to say, in this room, when I've got all the blinds drawn because I don't want sun shining on all my equipment in here, I flip the light on, I sit down, and I start playing at, you know, the volume of 11 as usual. And I'm playing for a while, maybe half an hour, maybe less than that. And the door, I think, was all the way closed or partially closed, but I looked up because I heard my name being called. Mm-hmm. And I look up and I see my wife kind of leaned halfway into the doorway. She makes eye contact with me. And she says something like, "I need you," or "come here." It was just the way she said my name was in a tone as if we got a problem. Mm-hmm. The first thing that crossed my mind was she's caught the boy and his girlfriend fooling around upstairs. I'm not going to lie to anybody. That was the first thought in my mind. So I kind of put my stuff down real quick. I unstrapped myself from the rig and I set the guitar down and I bolt through the door and the house is black. There are no lights on. It is absolutely dark. I said, "Lisa?" No answer. I mean, literally, she had just walked away from the door. I bolt upstairs thinking, God help this girlfriend if something's going on. My wife's got to her first. And my son is laying on his bed half asleep. I said, "Where's your gal?" "Oh, she left about a half an hour ago." "So where's your mother?" He goes, "I don't know where. I think she's in the backyard." Lisa was out in the gazebo with the light on, writing in her diary. For about the past, you know, since I went into the media room, maybe a bit before, I wasn't really paying a lot of attention, but she had not been in the house. And yet I saw her. I made eye contact with her. She looked every bit as real as my wife. She looked exactly like my wife, but clearly it wasn't her. And I asked Lisa, I said, "Were you in the house?" "No, I've been out here pretty much since you went into your room. I needed some quiet." "Okay. I just saw you in the house." She shuts her journal and she goes, "What the hell are you talking about?" I said, "I just saw you pull your head into the room. I saw part of your leg, your arm, your face. You made eye contact with me and you said my name in such a way as, 'Come here, we got a problem,' that sort of thing." She wasn't there, Rach. She wasn't there. And so you, being someone who's definitely more versed in ghost things than me, or apparitional things like that, that you've probably have you encountered that sort of thing before on any of your outings with this stuff? Or does this sound familiar to you in any way?
Familiar only in the sense that Jason constantly comes in thinking that I've been calling his name, and he says it's my voice calling, just like I always call for Jason, but I'm always like sound asleep. Okay. I've never experienced that, and I'm not gonna, again, I'm gonna keep repeating myself, I'm not gonna pretend like I know. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities, ideas, theories. You know, I don't have an answer for you. Jason will come in and I'll be sound asleep. And there was one time that, you know, I have type 1 diabetes and I was having a massive low blood sugar in the middle of the night. And one of the lessons of not exercising super hard right before I go to bed, because then I plummet during nighttime, but right. He came in thinking I called his name. And as he came in thinking I was going to be awake waiting for him, I was shaking on the bed.
Huh. And you have no memory of anything, you know, of like getting up and calling his name or anything like that. Even if it were in some other altered state, you don't have any memory of doing anything like that.
No.
Well, I mean, all I can say about that is it's literally the second time that I've seen my wife in a place where she wasn't. I was in the living room asleep in my chair. And I woke up because someone was calling my name again, you know, Jeff. And I don't know, it's terrible to say as a husband of 20 plus years, but guys, you know what I'm talking about. When you're asleep in the comfortable chair and a good episode of Seinfeld is on and you're drifting off and she says your name, you know, you all know what I mean when I say you ignore her in hopes she'll go away. and I did. I'm not going to lie. I just kind of, yeah. And then it was a much more pronounced and urgent pronunciation, you know, calling up my name. And so I flipped the chair up, you know, and I said, "What?" And I look over, and my wife is standing with her back to me at the end of a long table, which we bought at auctions, probably 150 years old. And she's wearing a plaid skirt, which I've seen her wear before. It comes down about to the top of the ankles, and sort of an off-white sweater. I can see she has very long hair, and it was going down her back. A lot of times she'll wear it up. This was not that, but still, it was my wife. She was standing there with her back to me, and I'm thinking, Christ, what's going on in the backyard? I mean, what? There's she's looking at something, and about the time that I looked at her and saw her, and I said, "What?" She comes down the steps, and I look back over at this thing, and I have no other way to describe it other than this figure. Ankles, feet, back of the shoe heels. You know, my wife wears like black flats a lot. Everything basically melted into the room. It didn't fade away like you think of an apparition fading away in some of these reenactments. This thing kind of melted into the room. Really hard to describe other than to say that the waistline came down and then that line of the waistline between just say the bottom of the sweater and the top of the skirt, while higher than the table, gravitated down onto the table, into the table, and became the table. The sweater with its folds, with its, you know, its knit, melted into the curtains. The folds were not even remotely the same. It was almost as if this thing melted into the shape of the background image of the room. The hair just, again, just transferred into shadow. But I'm telling you, had I had a camera, I honestly believe I could have taken a picture of it. It was that real. It was that detailed. I could see the shine on her hair. I could see the different, you know, the blonde and the, you know, the browns in her hair. I could see all of this. And I was very fully awake at the time. And again, I don't know what to put that to. I don't know what that means. I mean, we've had other ghost-like phenomena in the house, of which my wife has just seen a very large black figure traverse the dining room from the kitchen viewpoint, to the point where she screamed. I mean, we've had that sort of thing. So I wonder, I guess in the you know, ABC Friday Night Movie line of thinking, is this some sort of force in the house that is taking on some kind of appearance that I'm familiar with? Or am I just simply perceiving it that way because I'm the most familiar with her, you know, the facade of her? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what else to put it to other than something like that. I don't actually believe that it's her after the fact. I mean, obviously it's not her, but I don't think that this is some kind of like I'm seeing something future or I'm seeing something past or an echo. But I'm certainly not beyond thinking, am I seeing some kind of bleed over of a you know, they talk about parallel worlds and that sort of thing. I mean, is that?
No, I wouldn't say that either. I don't know. I'm going to keep saying I don't have these answers. I mean, we may never know.
Right.
And more than likely won't know. And that leads into, I mean, you might have, you know, how people, like, say the astral project or the, you know, out-of-body experience or...
Yeah, well, they've talked about that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how, people are through emotional whatever, you know, sometimes a part of them, you know, who knows? And someone might even say, oh, maybe it's a shapeshifter or someone pretending to be your wife, you know, but do you really know? I don't know, Jeff. I don't know. Right. And I don't know. Is that freaky? Yes, because it's your wife. And you're probably like, why am I seeing my wife, but it's not my wife?
You haven't encountered this in any case that you guys have been on at all yet, huh?
No, this is not fit in anything. Normally, this is going to be bad. When I see disappointed, when I walk into, normally it's nothing.
Oh, really?
Okay. Those are the investigations. Normally, there's nothing. We do have one coming up, I mean, on the 20th of August, and it's at the Rose Hotel, and we're working. The whole MRIPA crew posse is going to be out there, and then our friend Kevin from Gizmo Geeks or G42 Studios is going to come out and do a little bit of a documentary out there, and we're going to try to help promote business for this place to help repair and restore the Rhodes Hotel.
Okay.
And this is in Atlanta, Indiana.
Mm.
So we're going to be doing something like that. But this was, you know, thankfully to Rick McCaffey, who's one of our new team members, who gave us that lead. But, you know, I guess it goes back. I'm not excited. I'm excited to go investigate with my friends and my team members. But my passion draws with, I guess, extraterrestrial life on other planets is where it draws. Because it's real. It's something that, when I say humbled, I realize I'm a small bit of such a grander universe.
Right.
I'll have a purpose. And I've come to realize that my reason for living right now is to at least try my best to find out what that purpose is and follow it.
Huh.
And I get kind of emotional with it, guys, because I know I have a purpose. And
right.
I had some experiences. I'm not going to go into great detail because I'm still trying to sort it out myself, but Jason and myself have been finding a lot of times where we keep looking at the clock and the same time show up all the time, which is nothing too uncommon, mm-hmm. but it happens quite a bit. And it seems like a time for me is always like 4:45 in the morning or between the hours of 2 and 4. In February of this year, I remember our house was really, really heavy. And even our friend Amber walked in one day and she said, what's going on in your house? And I'm like, you feel it too. And she says, it's heavy in here. You can cut it with like a butter knife. And I said, I know, I feel it. I was on edge. I didn't know what was going on. And I would have these restless nights of sleep. I just couldn't sleep. And it was the Monday, I want to say it was either February 7th. Because I want to say it was a week before Valentine's Day, and that wasn't the reason why it was heavy in the house. I was waking up like every couple of hours, and the sky was cloud covered, but I had our blinds open just to let some of the outside light in.
Right.
And I remember waking up, and the room was just charged with almost like an electric feel. The dogs were restless. They were whimpering and like, which is really off here. And I remember just feeling my heart race, and I was like, what the hell is going on?
Mm-hmm.
I looked at the clock, and it was 4:45 in the morning, and I looked outside the window, and inside the clouds were flashes of green and red light.
Hmm.
And it just goes green, red, green, red, green, red, boom, gone. And as it happened, the power of the fan drained. You could literally hear the power drain out of the fan. And then when it came back, the fan sped back up.
Huh.
And I remember being like, what the flying hell was that?
Right.
So I told Jason, and he says, oh, I just thought that, like, my phone lit up. I'm like, no, there were green and red lights. There was like a rock concert in the sky. The whole cloud filled up with these colors. Mm. And again, I told Deb about this, and she said maybe it was the Northern Lights, and I'm sorry, Deb, if you're listening, but I had a hard time taking that as fact.
Right. Well, especially with the fans acting that way.
Yeah. I just, there was no way. And I let that go because I was like, okay, that was just an odd phenomenon. I don't know what happened, but the waking up between 2 and 4 was increasing and increasing and increasing and increasing and increasing. And that feeling of, if I look out in the living room, I'm going to see something there. And I found myself actually saying, I don't want to look.
Right.
I'm afraid to look.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a big fan of psychics, but there are a few people I do believe in. Amber is one of them. She's proved herself to us many, many times.
Right.
And she's trying to build her skill. And she kept talking about this black figure, like a man in a hat or something that she saw looming around her house a lot inside. And, of course, she's talking about, like, not in this plane, but a different plane. She says, I don't know why he's here. See him every time, and he's always standing close to Rachel. Well, I've never seen a man with a hat on. But I always feel of this looming, like this presence there. And I don't know, like, if you felt it when you saw your wife or when you thought you saw your wife, but it's just like this odd feeling in the air, in the atmosphere. It's different. Something's different.
Can I tell you what I call that? Because I know exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want you to tell this audience that we have not spoken since I emailed you, what, yesterday? I haven't talked to you since the last show. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I call that doom because that's what it feels like. It feels like doom. It is my wife and I, when we first felt that, we were living in a condominium that was the same place we lived when we first got married. I mean, we lived there for almost 16 years. And at times of my great interest in this stuff, coming back from maybe an experience or discussion group or coming off a case where I've gone out at 2 in the morning or something like that and coming back at 4 or something, you would feel this during the day, the night. It didn't matter when it was.
Yeah.
It didn't have to be night. But it was thick, heavy, doom, still, quiet, and palpable. And like you said, I had people come into my house that said, what the hell is going, who died? I mean, I remember my buddy John coming in going like, who died? Like, what is that? And that's what I called it, doom. And that always for me preceded more, some kind of weirdness, you know?
Yeah. For the term doom, the way I described it was more of being watched.
Oh, yeah.
And what was really weird, and when I said, you know, I've always had an interest in UFOs and extraterrestrial life, and I've always believed in it, and I believe in it more than ever now. Mm. Have I been abducted? Never. I've been getting weird images and flashes of me in my little white nightgown when I was a little girl looking at the woods, and all of a sudden I would see flashes of white lights coming out of the woods. Why am I getting these visions now? I have no idea. I'm like, why am I starting to think about this? But I started, you know, I always kind of joke around because I always told Jason, I'm not from here. I've never felt like I fit in here. Right. Many people can, you know, say they have that feeling, but I started, there was these books that one of our team members gave me that I've never read for the whole year we've had these books. And then finally, back in, like, March, I started saying, you know, maybe I should read some of these books. And the first book, which I read in a day, was from Jim Sparks called The Keepers, I believe.
Okay.
And Deb got me his email, and I actually emailed him saying, thank you for sharing your story. I have some questions, but he never emailed me back. And Deb said she's kind of gone towards the profit side rather than the helping people. I'm like, well, you know, no big loss. And then the next book I read were from and his book hit me, like, not his experiences, because I've never seen anything, guys. I've never seen anything. But, and this is going to take a while to explain, but this is why I want you to understand why my whole philosophy has kind of changed.
Okay.
Some of the stuff, you know about government, I'm not into conspiracy theories, but there is, I don't always trust our government, and I think there's a lot of hidden truth, you know, that they're keeping us in the dark from a lot of stuff that's going on. And I started, when I was reading these books, I started even reading Whitley Strieber's Communion, but I decided to stop reading it because I didn't need the negative side of things. And it one morning, it was like, had to be in April, almost May, I came home from a trip that I went to and worked. So I came home from D.C. and I said to Jason, you know, dang it. I said, I'm ready to make contact. I just want to physically shake, I said, the good guy's hand and say, I'm Rachel Baker. Nice to meet you.
Right. Okay.
Please let us know that you're here and that a lot of, most of us aren't, you know, making this up, you know. And that night, I never slept. I was getting pulled out of my sleep, like something was literally drawing me out of sleep. Like it wouldn't let me go to sleep. And that palpable feeling was there that you were being watched, not doomed, but watched closely, intently.
Right.
And I looked at the clock and it said 4:44 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 4:44 in the morning. The next thing I remember, I closed my eyes and what felt like an hour, I closed my eyes, and the next thing, guys, please, I'm not crazy. I hear this voice in my head,
right,
that sounded like a language I've never heard. Like inside me, I knew I understood, but I couldn't decipher, and I just laid there, and it sounded like a almost like a radio frequency, and it had this deep reverberation to the tone of the voice, and I just laid there, and then when it stopped, I reacted as if, oh, my alarm clock's going off. It must be 6:15 in the morning. I must have accidentally turned my alarm on radio alarm instead of beeper alarm. And so I went to turn my alarm off. It was only 4:45 in the morning.
Right.
When my alarm goes off, I have no hesitation to turn that sucker off.
Right.
I didn't move until whatever it was stopped.
Hmm.
Let me ask you a question. So this stuff, this UFO stuff, started happening before or after you decided that you were fed up with ghosts and you wanted to look into UFOs more?
I would say it probably happened, you know, I shouldn't say fed up. I've always been somewhat fed up with the crap in the ghost field. I've always been, and I've always had the interest in the UFO side, but something snapped in me that made me want to be more engrossed in the UFO stuff.
And so you wanted to be more engrossed, and then it's as if the phenomenon responded by showing you stuff and sort of interacting.
Not really, not even showing, not even seeing, guys. It's all been personal, and that's why I have to respect people when they say we have these personal experiences, because I have no proof to give people. I've told people this is what happened, because to me, when it happened, I was in tears. When I woke up Jason, I said, Jason, this is what just happened to me. And I wrote it down. And I just keep a little journal of it. And then Glenn Means had me get in contact with this really, who's been kind of working with me at a place called Harmony Within Center in Kokomo. Mm-hmm. And I got in contact with them. So Glenn met with me and Jerry, which is this guy, Kokomo. And I sat down talking, and Glenn actually came. I mean, I used to always randomly talk to Glenn a little bit, but then lately I talked to him a lot more because he's also been a good ear, like Deb's been a good ear. But now, I don't know if you guys have read Deb's book, but this is where it gets a little creepy. And I start talking about, well, people keep telling me that I need to start meditating more. And I'm like, I have a hard time meditating, meaning lying peacefully or sitting quietly and not getting disturbed by one, my husband, two, my dog, or three, two cats now. And I go to the gym and I started making like what I call mini movies in my head, and only certain songs trigger this response. And there is one song from Ghost in the Shell that I've been listening to that I started doing is probably, I would say around maybe a little bit before the lights in the sky started happening, or that light in the sky scenario in February. And it would always start, and you guys can snicker and laugh. Some people do. Some people are like, oh, that's pretty cool. It always started out with me on my knees, and I was looking down towards the floor. And then the next thing I see is a whole room where the ceiling looks out to the stars, and the whole room is filled with all types of beings, like you talk it, grays, reptiles, humans, anything possible. It's like you can't really see their faces, but you can sense they're there, like think of a dream. And the next thing I know, I look up and there's this tall, very blonde, long-haired man walking towards me. His skin is almost like a luminescent. It's not white and pale. It's almost like pearlesque. Very narrow nose, very thin lips. And he wears almost like a silvery blue, it's not a dress, but like, I don't know how to describe it, but almost like imperial type cut. And the thing that captures my interest about him so well are the eyes. The eyes are almost like an electric blue that just pierce you. And he comes up to me and puts his hand on my shoulder as if he's saying, you don't need to bow to me. Get up. We're here for you. It was almost like a welcoming feeling, like, it's good to meet you, welcome, blah, blah, blah. But that's where it always stopped. And I'm like, I don't know where it came from. I didn't have to think about this and create this. It just popped in there. And so when I was telling this to Gary and Glenn, Glenn said, oh, my God. He goes, have you ever heard of Ashtar? And I said, no. And he said, well, Ashtar is this and this and this. And so when I looked on the internet, the first thing, I'm sorry, guys, I forgot to tell you. When I get off my knees, he kisses me on my forehead. Hmm. And the next thing I know, I'm falling backwards, and I wake up in the bed we have now. And where he kisses me on my forehead, it glows, and then it dissipates. Hmm. And Ashtar is always depicted as having very narrow, thin features, very, very, very blue, electrifying eyes, and they always represent a purple spot on his forehead for the third eye. Hmm. I've never heard of this guy, nor have I ever seen these photographs. And then Deb's character, if you read her book...
Wait a second, your guy, did he have a dot for a third eye?
In the pictures on the internet, they depict that.
Right. Because the blonde motif of what you're talking about, that type of, alleged being, is mm-hmm. is common. I mean, that's, you don't have to think it's Ashtar. I'm letting you off the right. Ashtar hook. You don't have to believe it's Ashtar if you don't want to.
I don't know. I mean, that's just, what Glenn said to look. I'm like, oh my God, that's kind of odd, but I'm finding out, like, Deb described a character in her book, and the eyes, the pale skin, the long blonde hair, just that kind of stuff started happening. And then other people were describing experiences very similar to what I was going through, like the waking up between 2 and 4, a lot of weird things, and Jason would be having dreams, and we'd be given, pieces of information, it's just been so crazy. And then you have other people coming forth saying things out of the blue that they should know about. So there's been a lot, and I'm not going to talk too much because part of me says I don't have enough of the puzzle yet.
Well, wait a second, this has all been happening since the last time we spoke?
Yes.
Okay, and was there a build? Did it start with something small and then build and build and build?
No.
Or has it just been sort of all over the place?
It was in, like, a crash course, and I've had four different people tell me now that, well, even, you know, when you have someone telling you out of the blue, when I've never told anyone about, like, seeing the lights out of the woods, like, why would I have that vision all of a sudden of me as a little girl? I used to sleepwalk when I was little, and I just started seeing myself, like, I was watching myself as a little girl looking in the woods, and I had four different people tell me because they were visiting you. And I'm like, who was visiting me? I said, I haven't started thinking about this until just now. And they said, you lived on, you know, in this small house by the woods. And they said, I said, well, yeah. And when we lived on a Christian seminary, and they said, because they were visiting you. But to have four different people tell you that don't know you, and I didn't tell them anything. It just, I'm not saying it, guys, but I think this is 100% factual, but it makes me step back and say, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, I imagine it would. Now, what does Deb say in turn? You know, does she think that she has rubbed off on you in some way, or does she have helpful words? I mean, she's lived that life.
Well, she has helpful words because she says, you know, she always has, you know, Mama Deb's input. But she never really tells me, you know, one way or the other. She just kind of, like, you know, listens to my what's been going on. But kind of, you know, she has her experience and whatever's going on here, you know, they're mine. But hers have, you know, she's had sightings, visitations, I mean, a whole gamut of stuff. This stuff, it's all been... I don't have any tangible proof. That's why I tell people you need to start looking inwardly rather than externally, because sometimes, and I think the strongest words I've ever been told was, you know your own truth. Others can't tell you what that is.
Well, that's true, and that's good advice, especially when dealing with this stuff, because if you don't know anything about ufology, and you start reading some of these books and you think, oh, that's me, and then the mm-hmm. books turn out to be crap, then, you know, you're in for it, you know, internally. You're going to be sort of confused even. So, not that you're asking for advice, but I would say definitely, you know, stick with your own journey, you know?
Yeah. Well, this is what I'm going to say. When I keep saying I'm not crazy, it's just still makes me sit back and say, what is it? Is it a dream? I will say, can it be a dream? I'm willing to accept that. Will I say it's not a dream? I cannot say that because I'm going with what my heart and my gut told me.
Do they tell you what it is, your heart and your gut, or do they just tell you that it's not a dream?
It tells me it's not a dream and that it's, you know, maybe when I ask for, I want contact or some kind of proof that was the way it happened.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause the thing that Jeff and I talk about a lot on the show is, you know, as Jeff says, the more you give, the more you get. That basically, you know, there is this phenomenon that's in our lives. I mean, you know, I've seen the little gray guys and Jeff's seen a whole slew of stuff. But how you approach it is how it, I don't know if, it reacts is the right way to describe it, but that it sort of mirrors back what you put into it. And so if you think it's Space Brothers, you might be met by Space Brothers. If you think it's little terrifying gray aliens, you might meet up with little terrifying gray aliens. That it sort of is more intimately connected to us in ways that the word alien doesn't do justice to. And yet we still can't say what the hell is going on. You know, it's still impossible to say what this is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would just keep that in the back of your head at all times. Well, that even though this may be good and it may be beneficial and maybe aliens, who knows, that there might be something even deeper going on here, you know?
Well, I'm going nuts. I don't know.
Not that you're going nuts.
I know. I'm just playing.
That it's real, but that it's not aliens. That aliens is just a visage. It's just, You know, there's something – that's the surface entity. And if you dig a little deeper, there's something underneath that. And you dig a little deeper and there's something underneath that. And it sort of just keeps going forever for some reason.
Well, again, that goes back to what I'm still going to fall back on is, do we really know what's going on? No.
No, in fact, I find it interesting that you, when you're into ghosts, you've got a ghost cat or a ghost dog, you've got ghosts. Then you switch your, you put your eye on UFOs, and now suddenly you see UFOs, and suddenly you're in contact with these things. And there's this sense that it's, that's been who you are your whole life, it's been with you your whole life, and I... it would be interesting to find out that that wasn't true. You know what I mean? Like, is it possible that when you come into contact with this, it sets up a backstory in your head that isn't real? You know, that says we've been with you the whole time?
It's impossible. Yeah, I mean, the only thing is like, that's why this is what I do, again, as case manager and researcher. I write it down. Thoughts, feelings, everything. Then I write to the side, basically, is, okay, I've had four people now approach me with the wood scenario without me telling them anything. Okay, that puts up something like green flag it, red flag it, whatever, puts me as, okay, that's odd, but it happened. Okay, two, do I have tangible proof of anything? No, I do not. Three, am I telling people maybe to make them aware of something greater? Yeah, that's kind of why I tell people this stuff, not because I want to be special. I don't want to be special. I just want more understanding of what's going on, and I come to terms that maybe I'll never know. Three, do I realize that there is a lot more going on, and that there is this, I keep repeating my guys, I'm so sorry, repeating myself, but again, we are specs, important specs in a greater picture. And if someone doesn't believe that, that's fine. But to me, we are a small part or a big part, however you want to look at it, of something greater than us.
I wanted to ask you this before, and I guess I'll just ask you now. It seems superfluous given all this, but have you noticed a difference in the people who report ghost sightings as opposed to the people who report UFO sightings? Or are they basically the same sort of person? Are they just generally, you know, people?
I would say when people report ghosts, you see the whole way. I mean, you see caffeinated, overly jittery people to people that are just scared out of their minds. When it comes to the UFO, you have these, a lot of times you have people, I have to say they seem more sane, and they do exactly what I was just doing. I don't know what the hell I saw or experienced, but I know that wasn't supposed to happen, or that I wasn't supposed to see that, or that wasn't normal, and they question what they see. When it comes to the ghost stuff, a lot of them don't second guess what they experienced. They experienced it. You know, does that even make sense? Like,
yeah.
They know exactly what they experienced. It was a ghost. It was a ghost. And a lot of the UFO genre are, I don't know what I saw.
Now, is your husband having these sorts of UFO experiences as well?
All he's having is strange dreams. And there was a dream that we had really the same night where he saw myself and him around a table, and they were dressed in military uniforms. And he saw a person walk in. He said very tall, but you couldn't see his face. And there was like documents in front of us that he saw a symbol, but he couldn't make out the symbol. And that same night, I had a dream of holding a document in my hand and I was surrounded by what seemed like a military place. The same night, we had this dream. And the symbol I saw was red in reds and blues, and it wasn't anything but like basic circles, like five circles connecting, not interconnected, but just connecting into the sides. But that's all I could pull out of my dream. That's all I really remembered. And the fact that we had something like that on the same night, but Jason just experienced his dreams. The other stuff has been kind of like, more, I guess, my experiences. But no little green men, no little gray men. I've never seen anything physically. I've not seen a UFO. Jason saw one by the airport a couple months ago and sent in a report. I've never seen anything.
Just promise me you won't get hypnosis.
I've been, well, I went through what they call light hypnosis, and all it did was almost like a meditation where images start popping in your head, and there's really nothing more than seeing the flashes come out of the woods. I mean, that pops in there from time to time.
But you knew that anyway, right?
Yeah, I already knew that. And my parents used to say stuff like, I used to babble a lot in my sleep. And they said sometimes it sounded like I was making up my own language. I mean, there's just...
So when you say that you have a greater purpose, what do you think that is? Do you have any sort of intuition about that? And don't feel bad in feeling like you're self-aggrandizing or any of that stuff. Just put that away and just let us know what you think the purpose is, what you think your role in this life is.
Okay, everybody has got a purpose. And I keep falling back on it's just whether or not you want to listen to it or pay attention to it. Mine's always been leading people to the truth and helping people. And when I went, like, for example, I have this master's degree in health promotion and wellness because when I went to school, I wasn't experiencing this. I was lost. I was confused. I was, you know, angry at Christianity, but yet I was a Christian. I mean, I knew I wanted to help people. Now, every job I've had, I've kept about 2 or 3 years because I got bored with it. And I said, okay, well, apparently I don't want to do this. And then I move on to the next job. And then I find out that I don't want to do this because I'm always limited to what I'm able to do. I'm not really helping people. And then in the current job, I can only tell people so often to stop eating massive amount of Twinkies in one sitting and then going to bed on it. You know, so am I helping people? Maybe one or two, but not the way that I feel I'm supposed to. And what always pops into my thinking is leading people to the truth, enlightening people. And I know it sounds like I'm talking like all this, you know, metaphysical and, you know, Hindu or whatever, is enlightening people through truth.
What's truth? And it goes back to explain that everything. Word truth. Yeah. What does that mean?
Don't lie. Don't pretend like you know something when you don't. Keep expanding people's awareness and possibility. Don't have a closed mind. Think outside the box. Because once you get outside the box, it goes on forever. And think of, like, when I say space, universe, it's not just our solar system, guys. It's not just Earth. When you get out of Earth, you got our solar system. Then you got our galaxy. Outside of our galaxy, you've got billions and billions and billions. There's no end to that. And that's how I'm trying to describe my thinking, is that there's such a large amount of space out there. There's so much out there we haven't even touched on.
I'm trying to figure out, okay, so if you ponder the vastness of space while you're taking an interest in UFOs, and then suddenly UFO activity starts happening to you, do you think that if you were pondering something else... and had that something else be the attachment to UFOs, like say a trickster or a demon or something, Do you think that you would be having demonic dreams and seeing demons and all that sort of stuff, or do you legitimately think that this is what it is, space aliens, you know, coming to you?
Okay. This is a hard answer. I'm just going to tell you,
I think your dog needs to be petted.
Yeah, this is my dog, Bailey. This is a little wiener dog. Does evil exist? Yes, because you can't have good without bad. The whole yin and yang effect. The thing is like, one of the things I believe, but again, guys, I will say, am I 100% sure? No. Is that if you've got someone that has an evil intent or a malicious or just, say, negative intent, you tend to attract negative things.
Wait a second. I mean, forget evil. I'm just saying, I mean, it could be angels. Okay. It could be anything. You could put, fill in the blank. I'm just saying, if you start, there's something about this UFO thing where when you pay attention to it and you have the intention where you think you know what it is, it presents that to you. And I'm wondering if you get that sense of this, that if you had thought it was demons or if you had thought it was angels or if you'd thought it was the military or whatever, you know, whatever, would that be presented to you? Or do you really legitimately think, no, guys, that's crazy. What I'm seeing is what it is. These are people from, you know, another planet or something.
Okay, see, I'm just to clarify, guys, again, for my own personal thing, I haven't seen anything. So if you've got people saying, you know, when I go outside and I want these things to come, oh my God, and they miraculously show up, I have yet to meet someone that's able to do that. If they are out there, wow, you've got some mad skills. Now, I really can't answer that. Like, what I'm going through, am I experiencing anything? Is it bad? Is it good? I have to go with what I'm feeling. To me, it's a good experience. It's making me almost like it's my personal message saying, no, Rachel, you are right. You are not the only one, meaning people, humans, aren't the only things here. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not the biggest and baddest things in the whole flipping universe, because our galaxy is very small compared to all that's out there. And yeah, that's just where my brain expands. And I know we talked about the first time I was on the show, my brain can't stop. It goes outwards and outwards until my brain's like, Rachel, stop it. I need to rest. Because I really, really, like, my brain just wants to go out that far and say, okay, what would it be like? What, you know, yeah, this is the little girl in me, guys, that I am this grown woman that's got this great imagination. Now, could people say, well, were you imagining this? I don't think I was imagining it.
Well, the beauty of having a great imagination is that you can then, I think, better differentiate between imagination and not imagination. Yeah. So can you tell us what differentiates? Is it a feeling? Is it the sort of just overwhelming realness of the visual? What is it that separates this from a dream, or imagination, or even a lucid dream?
Okay, for me, when something truthful hits me, or what I start noticing is that I start crying for no reason. Like when I was reading book and his experiences, I wasn't crying, but he said something that had nothing to do with even like the aliens. It had something to do with like how, you know, sometimes Christianity has been conformed to not really the goodness that it was supposed to be, but actually it's caused a lot of the blindness in the world. I started crying when I was exercising and I saw this blonde being, this room setting of all these different types of beings in there, I started crying. It's not all the time. It's like certain things trigger that response for me. And I'm finding out that a lot of people, when they get hit with like bits of truth that you can't tangibly find, you can look all over these flipping internet and in books, but you're not going to find it. I've been told, and I'm starting to realize that might be your sign that, okay, there's a piece of truth that just was unlocked. And that's how you're relating it. That's how I relate to it. I've had dreams, and I knew they were dreams. I've never had, well, like when you're in your dream and people are talking, okay, I know it's a dream, they're talking, but this was, I was awake and it happened. You know, I heard that. And if anyone talks about like telepathy or, you know, how they speak telepathically, that would have to be how it's, what it's like. You have clear, audible words without it being external, but actually internal.
Well, I think I had a similar situation in high school where my friend Griffin was sleeping over. His real name's Rick, but Griffin. I was in bed, and he was on like a little futon thing on the floor. And I just spontaneously woke up at some point in the middle of the night. And this was, like you, I mean, I just found myself at some point in high school for a number of years just waking up at 3:30 in the morning, you know, on the dot. So maybe it was 3:30 or thereabouts, who knows. But I woke up or found myself awake, I should say, where my head was at the feet of the bed, which has never happened before. I've never just woken up with my head at the feet of the bed. And as I'm turning back over and putting my head on my pillow, I hear what sounds like a man, I think. I don't remember. A person, anyway, babbling. Just rah-rah-rah-rah-rah-rah-rah-rah-rah-rah-rah-rah-rah. And I start slapping at the radio because I'm thinking, did you know, an alarm went off or something. And as I'm, you know, and that's not helping. And then I realize, oh, no, this is just in your right ear. I mean, I could just hear it in my inside my head, sort of located in my right ear. And when I had that little realization, I just fell back asleep. And then I asked Griffin the next day, did anything weird happen last night? You notice anything? And he said, you were talking in your sleep and, you know, and slapping at the radio. And I was like, well, I wasn't talking in my sleep. I was yelling at this, whatever this thing was, to shut up. So that kind of, to me, sounds similar to what you're talking about now.
But has it happened again?
After that, or maybe it was before, no, I guess it was before that, I, you know, something walked into my room and babbled at me, so.
Yeah, I haven't had anything similar to that since then, so that's why, I'm kind of selective sometimes of who I tell, because one, they're like, you know, you get people like, wow, you know, okay, that's pretty cool. Like, Glenn's like, wow, you know, because he believes me. I know Deb believes me. Even though they didn't have the same experience that I did, Deb still takes the cake with her experiences. I mean, she does. I mean, she's got the whole gambit. But I guess you just have to kind of decipher those that you are working with on who would make up a story. And I remember telling, like, Kevin, because I was kind of hesitant to even tell, you know, Kevin any of this, because I was like, okay, great, you know, here's this guy I went to high school with. He became good friends with Jason and myself, and he wants to do a documentary of, you know, the M. Murphy group, and the next thing I don't want him to do is, okay, Rachel's a kook, so he's going to be, like, the home kook of the M. Murphy team. But he said, okay, well, he kind of made me laugh because he said, well, wow, this makes for one good story. I'm like, okay, Kevin, that's not the point of telling you. But and we're having more and more people come forth, like some of our friends up in PAC, Paranormal up in Chicago, coming down, and we just start talking about dreams, and we find out that not only Glenn, but Jason and then Corey from PAC Paranormal are having almost the same identical dreams. Now, again, coincidental? Maybe, but we don't believe in coincidences. So I'm going to fall back on this, guys, but it's just one of the things I've been told is you take in what rings true to you, but throw out what does not. And I guess I'm learning to listen to everybody before coming to theories or possibilities, and being aware that there's a lot of stuff going on that none of us really, really, really understand.
Rachel, I'm just going to say this, and probably somebody in the audience isn't probably going to like this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Don't read anything.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go looking for answers on the net, in a book, in a film. Don't. I'm telling you.
That's what I was trying to say. Yeah.
This is like
personal experience.
This is like this is totally not. And I mean, and I'm, this is the advice of a fool because I did that. You know, I talked to different people about it and I got their input and I got what they thought. And early on in this for me, it's just, it kind of, it set me back, at least in my mind now, it threw me back 5 to 7 years in just trying to trudge through the largely fictionalized stuff that's circulating around out there that doesn't fit, that you find doesn't fit. I mean, I guess to some degree, everybody's got to go through this period of trial and error with, like you say, what feels right to you, that sort of thing. But, and I'm not saying it's going to move any faster in that sense, but, and people will probably kind of scoff at me for saying this, but there's a lot of good UFO cases out there. There's a lot of good accounts that people have related over all these years. But I've never, if I could say, Rachel, listen to this one person and then just leave it all and believe nothing but your indirect experience, the only person I would point at and say, I think you would gain something from this because she sounds like you. The way you talk, the way you're, I'm visualizing like you're grasping out there in this dark, and it's like if you feel something at the fingertips, you're trying harder to get it. Look at a case called the Izot case, Dorothy Izot. If you haven't heard of her, she is the woman that I can say in no uncertain terms completely changed my thinking on this, not because I wanted to believe her and not because I found her to be really compelling. I found her to be honest, but I had the complete 180 degree opposite line of thought from her. And you hear this woman talk about something that you've probably encountered before doing the ghost thing, which is, she had these experiences of what she called men walking into her room, and they come in this light, in this craft of some sort. And she's filmed these things. She's filmed some very strange things that don't fit the stereotypical UFO picture or the UFO film. But what she said was, I was very confused about what was going on. And so I went to my pastor. And I think it didn't take a genius to know what was coming after that. She says, he told me, well, you know what you're experiencing is of the devil. And she says, it went from being this very benign thing to being very creepy and to being very scary and very fearful. And she said it took her a number of months to actually regain her focus again to a certain innocence or a certain naiveness about what it was, and then it returned to what she originally experienced. If that doesn't speak volumes about all of this from this little old grandma, then I don't know what does. I mean, and I think that maybe her further outlooks on this stuff doesn't really add up for me, but that one piece of her case, the way she verbalizes this, is so simplistically perfect that you can't walk away from that and go, nah, that's not it. You just can't.
Right. And, no, you're 100% right. And to give you an example, because at first I did start looking on the internet to see if anyone had similar experiences to me. And the more I looked, the more lost I got. Mm-hmm. I had another lady who acted like she knew 100% of everything that was happening to me, and that she had the answers, and it wasn't like, well, it could be this. It was, no, this is it, this is it. And then guess what happens?
Right.
I sink that in. I start second-guessing myself. I feel more lost and actually more depressed.
Mm-hmm.
But then I said, mm-hmm. enough of this. And I stayed away from people like that, and I just did my normal going to work, going and hanging out with my friends, doing my normal stuff. And then it's kind of like, I would calm down and then just let things happen if they were to happen. And I felt better. Kind of like what you were talking about with this lady. When she regained her focus, I felt better. I felt like I got back on track. And and the reason why, again, guys, why I'm telling you this is because I'm still trying to figure out what happened, what it was. Mm-hmm. And to me, it was a good experience. So again, when I started reading Whitley Strieber's book, and he started talking about the negative experiences he was having, I thought, I don't need to read this, because whatever I've been experiencing has been more enlightening than it has. None of it's been negative.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I want to keep that. Yeah.
That's a good thing. I mean, it's, I mean, I don't want to say any more about it, because essentially I don't want to steer you. But it's the kind of thing that this is for you, you know, that I know. I mean, that, like, if there's nothing that I know about this at all, and I've said this for a long time, if I don't know anything else about this, it's that it will teach you volumes about yourself, and very little about what it is. Like, you might as well kind of relinquish it. It sounds like you already have kind of relinquished to thinking that I may never know what this really is. But you'll learn volumes about you. And for me, it has not been easy, an easy thing. But ultimately, I learned at a certain point, I just can't read any more of this stuff. I can't know about any more of this stuff. Because for me, and this may be not even apply to you in any way, shape, or form, but for me, it seems over the course of my life that if it's been, I'm scared, it's almost to me like this thing goes, oh, do you like being scared? Okay, boogity, boogity, boogity. And if it's not, if I'm not that, and I'm just doing my thing and I'm happy, then it's almost that sort of thing. It's almost benign at that point. And so it's almost like it's an echo. It's almost like it's echoing whatever place I'm at the time, which, again, to me, goes a lot further than extraterrestrials. I mean, that little pocket or bag that people try to put this thing into just ain't big enough. That's the problem.
Right.
I think that's what makes you emotional, because I mean, I'm a dude at 44 years old with a kid in college and a wife of 20 plus years and have been in the same profession all my life. And I'm standing in front of, I don't know, 50, 60 people in Jersey doing this lecture. And when I start talking about this stuff and I start talking about certain experiences, I can picture it so clearly. And at the time it was frightening to me, but I think back on it now and I'm just, I actually started blubbering in front of 50 plus people, men, women, young, old. This just didn't matter. And I was starting to lose it. And that's when my wife kind of like grabbed my arm and luckily, the MC kind of said, okay, Jeff, well, thanks a lot, and got me out of it, because I'm so, just dumbfounded. I mean, you realize how dumbfounded you are by it, and it's the enormity of it. That's, I think, that's just my opinion, and I could be totally wrong, but I think when you start talking about the enormity of it and the purity and the weirdness of it, that can make you extraordinarily emotional. At least that's what's done it to me, and I've recognized that in the past so many years. But that's the only thing I could tell you is don't read anything. And that sounds so, anti everything that someone would tell you. Well, you need to read this book. This is really important. Well, that's not it. That's only writing a narrative for you and for it. That's my opinion. I mean, I feel like that part of it set me back, and I think you've got a lot to figure out. And I get the only question I got for you, and this is something I pretty much just ask of everybody that I meet who is kind of coming to certain thoughts in this stuff, or certain realizations in your case, I guess. Do you know what your ancestry is?
German. German descent, almost 100%.
Okay. Have you ever taken an IQ test?
I don't believe so.
If I sent you one, would you take it? Would you want to know?
You want to email it to me, and then I'll send it to you.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be. It's not going to be public. Trust me, I'm not going to do that to you.
I can definitely do that.
Okay. And I guess, and this is the tough question that people shy away from because they think you're going one direction, but trust me, this isn't implying what I think that this might say to you that it's implying. How much experience with psychedelic drugs have you had in your lifetime?
None.
None at all. Okay.
Nope. Never smoked, never did pot, never nothing.
Okay, good. How about occult practices? Have you ever fooled with anything like that? Have you ever been really interested in that? Have you ever poked around in like
ghost hunter?
Know that. But aside from that, has there been an interest in like Wicca or hoodoo or voodoo or any of that sort of thing?
No. The only thing I can think of was one of my roommates when I was in grad school was what she called Wiccan, and I just was asking her questions, but did I ever practice it? No.
Nope. Okay. Curious. All right. Well, Jer, is that our show for tonight?
What about Ouija boards? Played with a Ouija board?
Only when I was in eighth grade, and that was a one-time experience.
Very good. No, I feel like we will monitor your progress.
Yeah,
can we just have you on every couple of months to give us a...
Are you going to be like, I'm never having this Rachel chick on our show again?
Are you insane?
No,
I'm saying I want to have you on every 2 months and get an update.
Sweetness, okay. I would love that.
Who's ever seen the onset of an abductee before? This could be something.
Well, I have to say, though, I was invited to meet with some of the Indiana State people that have claimed to be abducted and listening to their stories, and their reaction was really the same as mine. Never seen anything. Might have always been, like, vision, thoughts, feelings. One girl that I've been keeping in contact with through Facebook, she was there and I talked to her about what she experienced, and she's been basically saying, I don't know what this was, but she sent me a little paragraph. I actually posted on my Facebook, and I'm sure you guys could go read it, because it meant a lot to me that whatever I said to her, and I only told her basically the same thing as you look for what's inside you and what you feel was your experience. And she sent this paragraph to me because she says, when I read this, I thought of you. And it made me tear up because that meant a lot to me, that I was able to affect her that positively. She took what she at first thought was a negative experience and turned it into a positive one.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, I have to remember the story, but something about her son after she had her first sighting, her son starts saying that, you know, these things were coming into his room and took out his heart. But there was no scars or anything like that. And he would, I guess, describe to her about this. And she says, Rachel, this terrified me, especially since you've been having these, you know, these experiences, these sightings. And without telling her, I kept saying, you know, maybe something else is happening. You feel it might be this, but maybe it was really this. And she came to me and said, I was thinking more about what you told me. And she said, maybe if they did take out his heart and put it back, she said, maybe there was something wrong or soon to be wrong and they fixed it. Now, mind you guys, it sounds maybe far-fetched, but if I was able to take what experience she had, that everyone was making it such a negative experience for her, freaking her out, for then she started paying attention to more really how she felt and what she experienced, and then thought about more and came to that conclusion, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, further introspection to it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, I couldn't tell her that there's no way they came and took out your son's heart if there's no scar, blah, blah, blah. No, you don't tell people that because, again, that's why I think with what has happened to me, even though it's nothing tangible or physical, or really even I had to step back and listen to everyone's story and just accept the fact that there definitely could be truth there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just where I have to end. Oh, my dog. That's just where I have to end it because I couldn't bring anything to you guys and say, this is what happened. And to you guys, I tape recorded it for you. I don't have anything to give anybody. Mm-hmm. And it just, like you said, it gets overwhelming because, my brain wants to reach so far out. But the more I listen to everybody else and what they think is going on, you're right, you get more lost and confused, and you start really losing focus of what your experience was.
Right.
So I would love to be back on your show, guys.
Yeah, no, thanks for your – I mean, the thing that's great about stuff like this is that there's no doubt that you're being 100% honest with how you feel about this and accurately describing experience with this stuff so far. And I think that ultimately when I hear stuff like that, this is when you realize that.
Can you hear us?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. I think that when you talk to somebody like you, and you hear the words coming out of your mouth, you hear the emotion that you have for this, that's kind of the way that you can judge how your words or how your actions in this stuff affect other people. And that's when you realize this is, and this is another part of the emotional, you know, outpouring in your own psyche for this stuff, is that when you realize that you're being honest and you're getting honesty back from somebody, that's when you make this kind of epiphany that this isn't the kind of thing that you can lie about. You know, it's like you realize that at that point when this person's talking to you, that they're telling you the truth. And so therefore, you know, you're both being truthful with each other, talking about these things that are at their core are unbelievably personal. And you're spilling your guts to this person in the most honest fashion possible, and you're getting that back. That is, to me, is one of the truest sense of communication between two people. And that's when you make this epiphany that this is not something that you can lie about. If you are, you immediately recognize it. You immediately feel it. I'm not normally one to go by feel, you know. But it's true. I mean, it's true. You can definitely it's just a tell I hate to use the old saying, you got to be there, but you do. Yeah, you got to be there. And that's how you know. And so that part of the honesty is what is great about hearing somebody like you talk about this stuff. So thanks for doing that.
You're
and,
welcome.
And stay on the line, will you, for a second after we
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right. And now Rachel, do we care about your website at this point? I feel like we just had this great deep discussion. Now your website. What's your website one more time?
The website for MRIPA is www.mripa.net. And then we have the White Crow Paranormal Magazine. That's a free magazine for everyone. And that is at www.thewhitecrow.org.
Very good. Well, thank you again for coming on the show and for spilling all this new stuff and being open and honest. And let's have you back and continue to keep this dialogue going.
Absolutely.
All right. Take care.
You too.
Okay, this is Scott Crownover, and you're listening to Paratopia.
Thanks.
Perfect.
So the Jeff.
Hey, guess what? After chat. You knew we wouldn't disappoint you, listeners.
But just a couple of minutes.
Yeah, real short. Real short. So what do you think?
About what? What do you mean, what do I think?
What do you think?
We described what we thought at the beginning of the show.
But it was great, right?
No, we got to say something different for the after chat. That's how these after chats work. Come on, Jeff, you know that.
What the fuck are you doing? Are you professional or not?
So, how great was that?
So the Jeff. Oh wait, what? it was great. We're giving you some after chat after all, people. We decided you guys deserve a little more, right? Who's with me?
Yeah.
I thought that was fantastic. I mean, I thought she's open and honest and naive and innocent about this.
Yeah.
In ways that while I remember those days, I also have the fear of going down the wrong road. And, you know, if she does keep reading nonsense or takes certain themes too literally, like the whole thing with soldiers and all of that, I mean, you could, if you believe the literalness of these things, you could really end up going down some dark paranoid roads that you may not come out of. We've seen that happen certainly in this. Or you may. Or, you know, as Jeff has said, he certainly thought it was demonic for many, many years.
Yeah.
I mean, what would have happened if you didn't think that all those years? Maybe you'd have gotten to a better place with it. I don't know. But so I find that interesting. And I feel like I'm rooting someone along in a race. Like, no, don't go down that path. Go that way. Yes, go.
Yeah, but you can't do that. That's the thing. I mean, it's one of those things where, I don't know, at least in my thought process, it's like this is the steps that people go through. This is the path that they walk down. And this is kind of where you start from and work out from there. And if you hang with it long enough, then you have these great moments of epiphany where you're like, wait a minute, that doesn't add up. And this doesn't add up. And so let me go here and poke around here for a while. It's just great to see, at least to me, that it's great to see that hasn't really changed. Like, everybody kind of walks a certain, I don't know, chronological staircase that kind of goes somewhere for them. And it could go early for some and later for others. I mean, you can get lost on that staircase, or you can or you can stumble upon something that flips you five levels up. I mean, who knows how that works? And who knows if where you think you are is up or down? I mean, you don't know. But it's still interesting to see that there is always this awareness. There's familiar feelings, like the doom feeling or the heaviness she describes. I mean, that is so definitely a part of this. I mean, we had that with Colin. I mean, it's that same kind of bristling thinness yet heavy. I don't know. That's just a very weird feeling. And it is, as she said, it's not just palpable to you. It's palpable to anyone walking into the room.
Well, I got to say, know? On another note, I find it a little troublesome. She seems like a humble person on the one hand, but on the other hand has this sense of great personal destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you're dealing with the phenomenon that will give you what you think it is, it could take her on a trip to great nonsensical personal destiny.
Mm.
You know, I worry. I worry about that. But hopefully the humble part will win out, and her rationality will, you know, if she starts to get, like, just stupid instructions.
Well, I think
that's kind of silly and nonsensical. I can't do anything with that.
And I think she's a really intelligent woman too. I mean, that's to her benefit in all of this. I mean, it's not this is not to say that this stuff doesn't happen to people of all varied intelligences, but she's a very smart woman, and I don't think she's going to be easily swayed, fooled, or influenced into certain things. I think it's just early on like that, you're kind of going around the cake table, tasting everything and seeing what everything seems to be, making those judgment calls on your own. But there are things that, like you said, there is a part of this that makes you feel like you do have this bigger, greater importance, but that's like the illusionary part of it is that that's your interpretation of what you're exposed to. And when you find out that that's not it, I mean, I'm sure for a lot of people, there's a great sense of relief in that. But
well, I also think that it could come from if this has been with her whole life, if that's mm-hmm. true, and she's just now realizing it, then that could just come from the repressed not knowing
exactly
this whole part of your life, you know, having this feeling of specialness and personal mm-hmm. destiny or being chosen for something or whatever. I mean, that I think that definitely is a factor.
Sure. Absolutely. But she's no dummy. So she's going to be fine. But it's I think it's great to see this whole progression going on. I mean, from the ghost stuff, you know, like what was the attraction initially there? And it was probably, I mean, I'm throwing out my big guesswork here, but you know, the attraction to a different way of thought from the norm, which the paranormal is, having instances like this throughout her life now, it all makes sense as to why you'd be attracted to certain things like this, which I think is kind of interesting. But I meant to ask her, and I know we're not supposed to ask ladies this, but I would like to know what age she is, because that's been a thing that's come up, I'd say, in the past 4 to 5 years, I think for you and me both, that we've encountered a whole lot of people in the 30 to 40 age group that feel compelled to speak openly about this and damn the torpedoes, you know, which is another thing that I don't know what exactly that's supposed to mean or what exactly that points to, if it points to anything at all. But that's something I've come across the past 5 years an awful lot, like people kind of breaking long silences about this sort of thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Curious.
Yeah, I have nothing else to add to that.
Yeah, that is what we've had. So, I don't know. But thanks very much to Rachel for coming on the show tonight and spilling her guts. That takes a lot of balls to do that. And I think, you know, to keep her composure while talking about this stuff is a great leap for a lot of people. So thanks, Rachel, for coming on and talking with us about this. And I look forward to having her back on.
Oh, absolutely.
Very soon. That's going to be great.
Much appreciated. And what do you make of just the simple fact that Deb Cobble is in her group? Anything?
I mean, I've told you this before, and I probably haven't said it on the show because, again, it's one of those things that just sounds so outlandishly foolish, but and probably a little too new agey for me, but I'll say it anyway because who the fuck cares now, right? I almost feel like just by looking at my own experience and being in and around people with this stuff for so long that even if it's in a social situation that's completely separate from any kind of paranormal interaction with public people, invariably I run into people and I befriend people who secretly have an interest in this or have had stuff happening to them at one time or another. And you can call it coincidence, or you can call it fate, or you can call it whatever you want. I think on some level, you know, we talked, I think, on the phone about, or we talked last week on last week's show about, you know what this is, or there's some part of you that gets more of this than other parts, but we can't make the connection in the state that we're in, or the consciousness that we're using. And I have to wonder if on some level we don't sense in people their connection to this and gravitate towards those people as friends or as colleagues or whatever. Because I seem to meet an awful lot of people who, when I finally do say, you know, I'm kind of in this paranormal thing, man, they're right on it. And they know a lot, and they've studied a lot about it too. And it's just a chance meeting through work or through a social situation or whatever. I got to say, that's strange, because that's happened to me all the time. I mean, all the time. And right down to a family level too. I mean, my wife's family, you bring up any sort of paranormal topic, oh, they're very, very interested in that. And I don't get smirks and laughed at or anything like that. I mean, they're very, very keen interest. So it doesn't surprise me in a way that she's in Deb's group. So it could be just that sort of thing, just that sort of dynamic going on. Or it could be coincidence. I mean, who knows?
We don't believe in coincidence.
That's right.
Doesn't mean coincidence doesn't believe in you.
Right. Oh, Jesus. And with that, Paratopia, thanks for listening. And Jeremy, anything to add?
Sweet dreams, everybody.
Anyway, www.mripa.net. And special thanks to give me the one name of the guy,
Rojan and Lobo.
Yes, there it is. You guys pick great names. They're so easy to recall. Over at projectarchivist.com, check them out. Good guys, and like Jeremy said, we'll have a 2-part interview on there with them, and I think we're talking about a crossover episode with those guys, so that could be fun too. So anyway, check them out, and I guess we'll see everybody next week.
That's the deal. That's the plan.
Yeah.
All right. Till then, night. Sweet dreams.
Night.